Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to see each one here. And it's good to have the Owens with us, I think, for one last Sunday. And Lord willing, I suppose next week or two, you'll be in Arizona. I was speaking with my neighbor man yesterday who came from Arizona at the end of last year. And he informed me that where he was from, they had 115 degrees yesterday, and he was so glad he was here. So I guess we look at things a little differently. But I am thankful for you all being able to be here this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I just thank you for the blessings of this another day. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together here, for each one that you have brought here. Thank you most of all for your word, for your son, Jesus. And Father, we just want to acknowledge you in all of our ways. And I pray, Father, that what is shared here today would be encouraging and building up because it's from your word. And I just thank you for your word. Thank you what was shared so far. And just help us, Lord, to be strong in you and seek you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So I would like to go back to Psalms 23. The other time I spoke for a message, I believe I had looked at Psalms 23. And I'd like to begin by just kind of looking over the beginning of the first three verses there that we had looked at last time. And do just a bit of review. The Lord is our shepherd. He's the one that gives us freedom from fear, freedom from tension, freedom from aggravation, and freedom from hunger. Now, those are things that, if you remember, we talked about that sheep require for them to be able to lie down in peace. And I think that's very true for us also. Just as the shepherd of the sheep must provide a place for the sheep to find these things, so Jesus, our shepherd, is the only one who can provide these things in our life. If we are struggling with these things, where do we go to? Do we go to our shepherd? So many options today that the world has to offer, and things that at one day were not even an option today are so many options, things that are so have been legalized, and you can get quite a fix on a variety of things to be able to take care of fear, tension, aggravation, or hunger. But those fixes don't last. But the fix we have with Jesus does. And so I trust the Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want, and we looked at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you know him and you claim that promise, you can have victory over fear, tension, aggravation, and hunger. He provides, he is there, and we tend to get a little anxious too quick. What else are we looking for if we have Jesus? For me, that's a struggle. And often has been, and I'm sure it is for all of us. That's not wrong that that's a struggle, but it's wrong if we cave into that and give up. But if we keep looking after Jesus and being content with such things as we have. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Contentment is such a blessing. And it can help us find peace and rest in the Lord. I am convinced that until we find peace and contentment in the Lord, we can run to and fro. We can run all over the world to try to find this or do that and try to make big deals of a lot of things. But it won't be helpful unless we find peace and contentment in the Lord. And if we find that in our life right here, then we can be more prepared to do what the Lord would have us to do. And we can be peaceful and happy and joyful. Not that we don't have difficult times, I'm not saying that, but there is just a peace that we can have within our lives. He leadeth me beside still waters. In the same way, Christ our good shepherd made it clear that thirsty souls of men and women can only be fully satisfied when their capacity and thirst for spiritual life is fully quenched by drawing on himself. If we truly are seeking him, he will lead and guide us. Only in Jesus can we find that everlasting water that does not run out. John 7, 37 and 38 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said that long ago. And that same thing is true today. And that's why I am thankful that we can count on Jesus and on the Word. He restoreth my soul. God is wanting us to come to him to find strength and healing. It is this time that God can prove himself faithful and we can be built up in him. Sometimes in our life, that's our only hope and help. Actually, that's true all the time. Sometimes we realize that that's true. When we find ourselves distraught, as David did, we can only find restoration for our souls in God and his word. Again, there's many things that this world has to offer, many books to read, all kinds of things to come to find strength, but truly, God and his word are the final authority. And I think all of us would say that the answers are in the word. Sometimes we doubt that because we find ourselves looking other places. But I am thankful that God proves himself faithful, and for many people that have taking God's word to heart, the answers are in his word. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Back to the example of the sheep. Sheep get into habits that are not healthy, and if not addressed, they become dangerous. They like grazing in the same pasture and using the same trails until the pasture is worn down. That sounds a little familiar. We kind of like it. We just kind of like to be in the same pasture. We kind of like it to be easy. And God wants to take us other places. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm so thankful for that because we all have failed. And if you do not realize it, and if you have not come to the understanding that without Jesus, you are nothing, I beg of you to seek him and ask him. Because everyone has gone astray. And he has taken all that stuff that we struggle with, and he has taken care of it. But how many times do we try to fix it ourselves? And we hang on to that. Why? A variety of reasons. One is because of fear. One is maybe we're proud. Just many reasons why we think we can fix it ourselves, but we've got to lay it down. Amid all the chaos and confusion, Christ the Good Shepherd comes and says, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." We need to deny ourselves, because ourselves is what gets us into trouble. Isaiah 48:17 says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go." I'm thankful for the illustrations there that Nevin gave there with Daniel. I think Daniel knew who his Lord was. And that's where we need to get to, where we know that the Lord is our shepherd. So on to verse 4, which is where we're going to begin today to finish out this chapter. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The valley of the shadow of death. I used to think that that spoke mostly to dying, and I think it does some. However, in my studying, I realized that the word death here is really speaking of a deep darkness, distress, extreme danger, or deep shadows. The word does not necessarily just mean death or dead. That shed a new light on the verse for me and reminded me that God is with us at all times. Psalms 3, verse 5 says, "I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me." How many times we go to bed and we go anxious, or we wake up anxious, and remember, we can lay down and sleep. The Lord has it all under control. Psalms 118, 5 and 6, "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Most of us aren't worried too much about what man will do to us. We live in a fairly safe place. Some places it's a lot more dangerous than here. But as we look at what's happening in this world and in this society, things could change very, very quickly. Are we ready? Do we know that the Lord is our shepherd? Do we know that he is with us even in the dark places? The rod and staff were used by the shepherd to protect the flock when passing through dangerous places. There are many dark valleys and deep ravines in Palestine that cast shadows much of the day. The valley of the shadow of death speaks not only of death itself, but of any shadowed way. Life has many experiences that are terrifying. Death is not the only valley we must pass through. Sometimes there is the betrayal of friend, or the waywardness of sons or daughters, or the intense sickness of a family member. God promises that he will lead us through all those experiences, and he will use them for our good. And I know that's very hard for me to see, very hard for us to see when we're in the middle of those times. The true Christian has nothing to fear. Even in the most gloomy scenes of life, likewise, he has nothing to fear in death and in the great world beyond, for he can say, "Thou art with me." For the disciple of Jesus, death is only a shadow. Death is not total darkness. Where there is a shadow, there has to be light. You can't have a shadow without a light. And the Lord Jesus, our shepherd, is that light. If the Lord Jesus is your shepherd, you shall not lack protection, neither in this life nor in the next. Psalms 23, verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." He prepares a table before me. Back to the sheep illustration, shepherds spend much time ahead of the sheep when they go to new pasture and find plenty of food, and they need to find food that's free from dangerous plants. One of the dangers confronting a Palestine shepherd was that of poisonous plants. Many poisonous plants were fatal to sheep, and so it was necessary for the shepherd to prepare the pasture. He would take a crude mattock, and when he came with his flock to a new pasture, he carefully grubbed out every poisonous weed he could find. Only then would he let his sheep into that pasture. Just so, our shepherd prepares a table before us of many good things every day. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Many times we have this good table in front of us in life, and we miss it because we're looking somewhere else. Maybe we're looking in a different pasture. Maybe we're looking at what the world has to offer or what the flesh has. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus and allow him to prepare the way, because he will. He is faithful in that. "Thou anointest my head with oil." There's much significance with this whole anointing thing. Anointing with oil, do you remember in the Old Testament? When there was someone that was marked as an important to be chosen by God, they would be anointed with oil. When Samuel anointed David to mark him as God's chosen king, that's probably one of the most famous examples we remember of that. Number two, we use oil for the anointing that God speaks of in James, anointing for healing. And in the shepherds there, the sheep could get their head caught in briars and die trying to get untangled. There are hard little flies that like to torment sheep by laying eggs in their nostrils, which turn into worms and drive the sheep to beat their head against the rock, sometimes to death. Their ears and eyes are also susceptible to tormenting insects. So the shepherd anoints their whole head with oil, and that would bring peace and would bring protection. The oil was a barrier of protection against the evil that tried to destroy the sheep. God anoints our head with oil. Are you looking for that oil? Have you ever asked God to anoint your head with oil? He has an endless supply. His oil protects and makes it possible for you to fix your heart and mind and eyes on him today and always. There's a peace in that valley. There's a peace in those struggles. Let us seek that anointing which brings healing and comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." If we experience that oil, we can find that in His Word. And in that, we can find the peace and the comfort from all the turmoil that goes on around us. "My cup runneth over. When I think of all that God does for me, from salvation through the blood, endless daily provisions, physical, spiritual, and mental strength, and peace." Your cup is running over. If you have experienced that, if you know that, if you have went to Him and you are one of His children, your cup runneth over. Again, when I feel that my cup is not running over, and I see all these things around me that are not going right, or at least what I think is not right, let's get our minds back to what the Lord has provided. And then we can see our cup running over. I so badly need that in my life. And I'm thankful for those that encourage me in so many ways. And we can encourage one another, whether it be at work, no matter where it be. There's so many ways to encourage one another. I'm so thankful for how that happens within our fellowship. As Christians, we should be the world's most contented people. We should have the most joy, and we should have the most peace. Lord, help us to see our cup runneth over, even in the darkest times. On to verse 6. The 23rd Psalm concludes with, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." These words express the confidence that in the Father's house, mansions are being prepared for those who follow Christ here in this life. When the earthly house, our present body, is laid aside, we have the promise of receiving a new house, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "We can be sure that the same Lord Jesus who led us safely on our journey through this life will see us clearly into His everlasting fold." The person who begins in verse 1 of the 23rd Psalm, "to travel by faith with the Good Shepherd," now in the last verse, is seen as a dweller in the house of the Lord forever. At the end of life's road, the Lord opens the doors of His palace and bids us to enter in and to live with Him in the realms of the blessed forever. In Psalms 23, we have the pictures that the secret of a happy life, a happy death, and a happy eternity. May we understand and live out the promises here in the Psalms. When we really understand our Shepherd and Father and how much He cares and loves us, we will be ever grateful and be able to live a much more peaceful life. Oh, how much like sheep we are. We daily need a shepherd to guide us. How easy we go astray. What is it Satan is telling you that you cannot do that thing, that you cannot be strong. We can all do things through Christ who gives us strength. That actually is how I got up here many times. Many times, I don't want to be up here. And I know there's some people that thrive and are just excited about being up front, but I'm not one of them. And there are times when I dread it. But God is faithful, and He will always see us through, whether we get faint-hearted or not. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. If you don't have this peace and joy, may I encourage you to go to Jesus and find a personal relationship with Him. No, that doesn't just happen. So many times in this world, people say, I'm a good person, or people pass away. Doesn't really matter who the person was, the pastor or whoever preaches the message, puts them in heaven. It doesn't just happen. It takes a seeking after the Lord. It takes a desire to do what He wants you to do. And call on Him. He will show you through. He will take you through. He will be your shepherd. Whether you are a downcast, discouraged Christian, or don't know the Lord, you can find the peace by turning to Him. I had to think of the armor, and I've thought about this before, and I sat down and thought a little bit about how the armor works and what makes the armor so strong and so powerful in our life. So I'm just going to go down through this. Loins girt about with truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The breastplate of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, for He is our peace. Jesus is our peace. You get the theme here? It's Jesus that is this armor. Shield of faith, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The helmet of salvation, Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And by the way, there's a whole lot more verses for each. For most of these, I didn't spend a lot of time looking them up. A lot of these verses just came to mind as I thought about the different pieces of armor. And there's verses, just so many, that talk about this. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I mentioned that earlier. We have the Word, we have the answers, and in that we can live. Christ went to the cross to be our Savior, Shepherd, and Guide. There's no other way to live now or in the life after. And if you don't have Christ as your Shepherd now, you won't have Christ as your Shepherd after. So there's a chapter that in the Bible that has been very encouraging to me, and I've looked at it often, and oftentimes it's encouraging when we're going through difficult times, encouraging to remember what all the Lord has for us. It's Isaiah 55, and I had asked a couple of brothers here if they would read this chapter. So Brother James Parizeau will begin, and then Aaron will read a few verses, and Josh Cady a few verses. And I would like if you would open your Bibles to Psalms 55, and let's stand. I'm sorry, Isaiah 55, yes. Let's stand and have the brothers read this chapter.
You climb your ear, you come unto me. Hear in your soul, generally, shall make an everlasting covenant with you. You come to show me the David.
Jehovah has given him for a vision to the people, the leader and commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt fall the nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my way, your way, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
You may be seated. Many promises there. I'm sure many of you have sat and read that. But if you haven't, and you're seeking, it's a lot of powerful stuff there. So in closing, I'd like us to consider Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Another very powerful verses. There's so much in that whole Ephesians chapter 1 there that is so encouraging, that reminds us how we get through life. It's through our shepherd, Jesus. Let us remember daily who our shepherd is and walk in the joy, peace, and protection of him. Blessings on your week as you look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith.